Hello and welcome to the Amaze podcast, where we talk to businesses large and small, experts in subjects across the spectrum of business, entrepreneurialism, tech, innovation, investment and finance. I'm Jake Shaw, your host. If you'd like to learn more about Amaze, please go to www.amaze.com. So today I'm joined by Daryl Bannon. Daryl is an investment specialist with a deep understanding how businesses work and how businesses grow. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Jake. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. So today I wanted to talk to you a bit about investment and how it works. The first question I'm going to ask, what is investment?
Investment is anything that gives you equity into your business and is not a loan. It's not as simple as someone saying, well, here's 100 grand, I want 10% of your business. There is a lot more mechanics that go on in the background. There's a lot more risks you have to think about. There's the human dynamic of a new person getting involved in your business, etc.
So does that mean you're giving away parts of your business to somebody for money?
Exactly. Where the difference when you go for debt is that you still retain ownership 100% of your business, but you've leveraged your business towards debt, but at least you have 100% control of your business.
You've touched on that there are different ways that investment can happen. What kind of investment is available? Let's say you're an already operating SME and you're turning over a decent amount of money. Why should you be looking for investment?
So you might have a nice business, you've decent enough turnover. Now, again, it might be that you're more suitable for grants. It might be that, again, you're looking at a more hybrid mix of some bank debt, using your overdraft, getting some self-funding. If an investor gave you £100,000, £200,000, they want to be getting at least 8 to 10% out of that initial investment. And if your margins are still quite tight, you're not going to be very attractive to an external investor.
You're dealing with people who are very serious about this business and won't be your friends.
Think back historically, look at the case studies of Facebook and all those companies. It was venture capitalists who came knocking on the door. That's where you get the big millions of pounds of investment to really catapult the business.
There is one particular outfit that specialises in doing impact investment. I didn't understand before I had this conversation what impact investment was, but it's actually becoming a very, very important proposition now, isn't it?
So whether it's green energy, whether it's sustainable fashion, better health outcomes for people in different countries. Now, if you feel that your product or service is very much more in that more kind of tertiary sector, and that I mean the third space, which is social enterprise, the environment, healthcare in the non-pharmaceutical means, you do need to be looking at more specialised groups. So for them, the return on investment is feeling that they've made a change to the world. If it ends up that they get 3 or 4% return or a small dividend, they're quite happy to take that. I think when you start the investment journey, it's very important to be very clear in your own mind who you want to work with and the types of investors you want to speak to.
Let's assume I want to start my investment journey. I've got my business. I think I can grow it. Who do I speak to first?
There's a few different people. You need to speak to yourself, first of all, and be very clear on what you want to get out of that money. How much money do you actually need? There's lots of questions you need to be very clear on. Then you would come to people like myself who would look at your financial modelling and make sure that fits in with your business plan. I want to see a real reason for the cost. Don't just say, oh, this other business spent X amount on something. That's great for them. How about your business? What do you actually need to grow? And so I'd work with them on that. And because I have an MBA and marketing degrees and all this kind of stuff, I'm not just an accountant. I can look more holistically and I could kind of challenge costs and say, well, actually, in the last 2 to 3 years, marketing, for example, those costs have come down quite a lot because you've got influencer marketing, you have all the use of social media. And once you know what it is you need for the business, then you're in a better position than to go out to investors. And also from a valuation point of view, if you're already an existing company that's trading, it's far easier to value. If you're starting from scratch, it's very hard to place a fair valuation on your business.
Let me ask this question. What's more important? Is it the numbers or is it the idea?
It's the idea and the people, the money you can work on. Everyone knows everyone overestimates their sales. That's just the way life is. But ultimately, the investor will look at you as a person and go, can I work with them? Do they seem like they're going to put their head down and actually work? Then they'll also look at the idea itself. They may say, actually, I love the concept, but I have some ideas. Have you thought about this?
So you will have seen quite a number of pitches.
If you start waffling on about the technicalities of, take the example of maybe shampoo, if you start talking about all the wonderful ingredients within your shampoo, people are just going to get bored. If you're not going to get a skin rash and your hair is not greasy at the end of it and you can project loads of sales, fantastic, go forth and multiply. Especially if you're going live at a pitching event, never answer a question that you weren't asked. So if someone asks you, what are your plans for next May? Don't start answering about something completely irrelevant and different. just because you wanted to get that point across. Keep it simple, you know, don't just rush to give information you weren't asked for. Just focus on what you're good at, but don't tell them about all the things you're not good at, because that doesn't really help the conversation. It's no different when you go for a job interview. I've interviewed thousands of people over the years. I don't want to have to interview 50 people. I want the first person to walk into the room to be a good interview, and I can just go, oh, thank God, hire them. Brilliant. Come on into the team. So you've got to remember, when an investor is going to, has invited you to a meeting or to pitch live, they've already liked something in your deck. They've already got a positive impression of you. So build on that positive impression. Don't take away from it by coming in being all nervous and trying to be too humble either. So don't say, oh, I'm rubbish at marketing. Don't say that. Just say, my strengths are in this, this and this. Don't highlight your weaknesses. That will come over time. And if the investor says, well, actually, I have a great track record in marketing, you go, oh, that'd be fantastic. It's not my strongest suit, but it'd be great to have someone who can guide me and mentor me and actually make me better at marketing. You can twist the question and still come away looking quite positive. But I will say, as a business person, you should be naturally good at marketing anyway. You just haven't found the tools to do the job. So things like learning how to do positioning strategies. I work a lot with fashion brands, and the first thing they say is, oh, women, 25 to 35. I'm like, well, that's great. So who's actually your customer? And they kind of get all flustered. And they go, no, who is she? What does she read? What does she write? What does she watch on TV? What's her political leanings? These are all the things you need to know, because when you craft that advert or you craft who your, you know, your marketing strategy, all those threads have to filter through. But these are things you can learn.
How important is a business plan if you're looking for investment? And I guess when we talk about a business plan, we're usually talking about a growth plan for an existing business, or an actual straight blue sky business plan for a pre-launch or to launch a new venture. So how important is that document?
It is important. And also, people forget, it's actually a really good tool for you as an individual or as a team as well, as a structure to go by. No one wants to read a 150-page essay into how your brand is going to grow. There are so many good templates out there. There's even one on my website whereby, you know, you just want to fill in certain categories and keep it to bullet points. You've got to remember, play to your strengths. So bullet points are perfectly acceptable. And really what you're trying to set out is what the targets and objectives are for your business. So you may say that in year one, you want to sell in the UK, move into France, Germany and Spain. Fantastic. Year two, you want to do XYZ. So how are you going to do that? So the next layer in your business plan is, okay, I know I'm going to start off in the UK, then I'm going to move to France. So what you need to think about if you're moving to France, you're going to have to convert your website, you're going to have to translation services, your postage is going to change. Just so think about all the factors that are going to change based on those different locations. You don't have to write a huge essay on that. You need to demonstrate you thought about these things logically. So usually a good business plan will start off with the basic information about the company, where you're registered, who's on the team. Then you'll go into the sales strategy. So how are you going to actually go route to market? That kind of couples with your marketing strategy. The positioning map. So where do you fit in the marketplace compared to your competitors on quality and price, as the usual. That mixed model is going to be more prevalent. So an investor will, you know, in the past expect to see an office spend, but actually now they've realized you don't need an office per se. If it's a private equity or a venture capital firm, they might give you a desk once a week or twice a week to hold meetings in, for example, so that your team can still work remotely, but you have a hub or a base to go to. So think about those sort of things as well. And then ultimately, depending on your business type, you may have an exit strategy. So far more common in your bigger kind of tech companies, where you will have someone will say, well, in year 10, my plan is to sell out. It doesn't mean, because you've written in a business plan, that's 100% the way it's going to go. But it's just good for an investor to appreciate where your mind is going.
That's fabulous advice.
It's not just for external people. It's also a good document for you to have internally as well.
So a living and breathing document you should keep live anyway.
Exactly, exactly. And it's one of those things where I think people get daunted thinking they have to spend 3 days in a dark room writing this. Just spend an hour a day on it, or even an hour a week, whatever fits you and your lifestyle. If you're watching TV in the evenings, you can have the laptop on your lap and you can be just putting in some points. You know, there's no reason why you can't be tinkering with it all the time.
Daryl, where do people find you if they need your help?
So my website is www.darylbannon.com. That's spelled D-A-R-R-Y-L-B-A-N-N-O-N. I'm also on LinkedIn, so you can connect with me there as well.
Daryl Bannon, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more podcasts like this, please go to www.amaze.com. And don't forget to like and share this podcast.